Welcome to the Life in the City podcast from Antioch Community Church in Northeast Minneapolis, where we explore what it looks like to be a loving family inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're here.
Hey, welcome back to the Life in the City podcast. My name is Rachel Love.
And I'm Coley Wadija.
If you have joined us for another episode, we are so thankful. As we continue to figure this podcast life out, we're glad to have you with us. Here at Antioch, if you've ever been to one of our services and you're somebody who grabs a bulletin, you might have seen on the back of our bulletins, we have six core values listed on the back of our bulletins. And so Coley and I thought it might be a good idea to kind of talk about what are those core values and why do we have them on the back of our bulletins and why do we care about these things? So we're going to dive in today. Coley, what are core values?
Yeah, let's start there, right? Yeah, it's funny because core values, I mean, every company has core values.
Yeah.
Every big company, at least. And they can kind of be like a buzzword or they might be things that are like on a poster but aren't really part of the culture, that kind of thing. But for us at Antioch and for churches, I think, that do this well, you really want your core values to be both descriptive of who you are as a church family and a little aspirational, like recognizing that you're not perfect at all of these things. But one analogy that can be helpful is to imagine an iceberg. So you've probably heard before that, you only see 10% of an iceberg above the water or something like that. There's so much ice underneath the water that you just don't get to see. And in a church...
Rest in peace, Titanic.
Hilarious. But in a church, the part of the iceberg of the church that you see is the programming. It might be what you see on a Sunday morning or what you see on... I mean, we don't have Wednesday nights, but, you know, like the midweek programming or for us, it might be community groups or missions things, ministry things that we do in the city.
The things that people typically shop for when they look at churches.
Yeah, sometimes. Like the stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff that you see. But if done well and prayerfully, those programs don't just come out of nowhere. They're not just floating on top of the surface of the water. They're coming from somewhere. And so as you dig down, those programs are coming from a set of strategies, but those strategies are coming from, are a goal to accomplish the mission and the vision that we have. Well, that mission and vision comes from who we are, and that's the core values. So at the bottom of the iceberg are the core values. I will say there's one deeper that you could go that core values are not. Core values are not the same as our statement of faith.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, that's why we don't have a core value of the Bible, exactly, you know, or we don't have a core value of the Holy Spirit. Those are stated in our statement of faith, which is we are part of the Evangelical Free Church, the EFCA. And so all the EFCA churches have the same statement of faith, but not all of the EFCA churches are going to have the same core values because it's more like a personality. And just this is unique to who we are in this time, in this place.
And it doesn't mean that those other EFCA churches may not see the benefit of those core values in the life of our church.
Absolutely.
But it may not reflect who they are as a body as well, because every body is different.
Totally. Totally. The fact that we are in Northeast Minneapolis, the fact that we are a younger church, we're not 150 years old, all of these things, the general makeup of our people, like those are what lead you to kind of defining who you are. And it's good to describe and define those things.
So let's talk back about how they were defined, because I know you were a part of the core team at Antioch to kind of help plant and start this church. So where did these core values come from? How did it get decided what core values we see within our body or want to have within our body?
Yeah, it's been a minute. In 2008, we had our core team, which was the group of people that just met to figure out everything. Because, when you start with nothing and you end up with a church, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked in the process. And one of those things was core values. So for, at least a month, but I think it was longer than that, we sat in Andy and Sarah's basement, not like a month straight, like a series of evenings. we sat in Andy and Sarah's basement. And as we talked about core values, we had this system that Andy led us through that was really helpful. We came each with our individual ideas of how we would describe Antioch. What do we think is important to Antioch? And I don't even think we were named Antioch at that point, but we just, what's this church plant?
Church TBD.
Exactly. And for everything that we thought was important or that was unique to us, we wrote on post-it notes. And then those post-it notes got put up on their basement wall, and they have a like long wall. So it was just covered. And so we all got to share all of these different things. There were like 12 or 15 of us. And so there were maybe 100 post-it notes up there. But you could start to see some themes of things that were similar or similarly worded or just straight up identical. Mm-hmm. And after kind of grouping things and finding similarities and threads, and you eventually just kind of prayerfully prioritize and pare down the list.
Who are we? Who do we want to be?
Yeah.
A church that is growing together.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what you don't want it to be as far as like the slightly aspirational, it's okay to recognize, hey, we're not completely here yet, or we're not, you know, doing this perfectly, but you don't want it to be so aspirational that it's just not who you are at all.
That it's not achievable or, you know, right. Yeah. Know who you are and who you could be.
Yes.
Right. With the help of the Holy Spirit. Right.
Right. If I was making my own personal core values, one of my core values would not be a professional basketball player. As much as I love basketball, or did, I guess. I don't have anything against it right now. I just mean, like, I used to be into it. I'm never going to be in a pro sports league. So that's not going to be a core value, because it's just not how I'm wired. And just, I'm not that passionate about it. But maybe, you know, active or activity or play or something, you know, there might be something more, more applicable. So for us, we ended up down with these six core values that we landed on.
Yeah. And I mean, six is not a little.
Yeah.
But it is a good amount of things to want to aspire, achieve, see in life of our church. So, I mean, is it okay that some may come a little more easily than others? Because obviously our church has changed over time. You know, in the past 14 years, it's not just those same 15 people that gathered in Andy's basement. Our church has changed dramatically. And so is it okay that maybe some of those values are a little easier and others maybe are a little more challenging to see in life for our church right now?
Yeah. So, well, let me read the six core values just for starters. It's the first one is truth, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But then the others are pursuing God, organic community, creativity, holistic mission, and intentional multiplication. And so, I mean, even in that list, there are some that when we chose those, we had a certain idea of what they would look like as they matured, for lack of a better term, because we knew how they were being expressed at the time. So for instance, creativity, it's not the same kind of biblical concept as some of the others. It's a less churchy word maybe. but at the time we had incredible musicians on our team, and we do now. I'm not comparing. We had like semi-professional musicians on our team, and you know, we hadn't worked to find them. We just ended up with them. We had some very art-oriented people. And we thought, wow, like we could have an art ministry. We could have a music ministry. We could have, you know, creative writing incorporated into our services. Like we did some of that. But as we know in Minneapolis, turnover is high and people change. And we do still have, we've still really enjoy our good music, and we enjoy raising up musicians and other artists and things. But the way we express creativity now is slightly different in that we have a permanent space, and we didn't at the time. We've been able to express creativity through like how we lay out the building and how we decorate. And sometimes decorating gets a bad rap just because it sounds froofy. But like, I mean, what Krista Ricocci has done with decor in the building, it aids in our ministry.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's incredible.
How she uses her skills and talents in a way that is so foreign to me.
Yeah.
I have this little game I like to play when Krista submits a purchase order request for some of the things she's going to use for decorations. I like to play, what could she possibly make out of this? Because I think it was at Christmas time she ordered coffee filters, little plastic straws and fishing wire. And I had no idea what she was going to do. And then a week later, I go into the auditorium and it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So thank you, Krista, yeah, for doing
we
that.
We need to have her on the pod too sometime. She'll be appalled, but it'd be great to have her. Decor. And we still have artists and we still have musicians, but now we get to do it not just by internally, but like we're part of Art World.
Yeah.
And we get to be a site for that. And we get the community in through that. We also are creative in other ways, like encouraging everyone to be creative in their own space. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like artsy, quote unquote, people. It's how are you creatively using your business acumen or your just ability to work or your flexibility as a stay-at-home parent, or some may argue that's not as flexible, but you know what I mean? Like how can you be creative in your everyday life for the sake of the gospel?
Kind of using like innovation and creativity in your, even in your mind and how you go about your daily work and how you steward your time and your talents and your efforts.
Right. Right. So I'm digressing into creativity. So they may not all be expressed in exactly the way that we anticipated they would be, but they have remained kind of true to who we are.
Well, and that brings a follow-up question. You know, there are some that maybe are a little more easily seen on any given Sunday or throughout the life of our church. And I think you hit it at the beginning. There are some that maybe are a little more aspirational, right? In the fact that maybe we're not seeing this in fruition right now, but we hope that God will continue to work to make this true of our church body. And how do we wrestle with the fact that some are a little more aspirational?
Yeah. So there was a reason, and I don't remember every little conversation that we had that many years ago. One of the things is that you kind of want them all to sound coherent together, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there was some discussion over the fact of how we should word the second one, which is pursuing God, because it's a participle, the ing or gerund, depending on how you want to think about it. And none of the others are. And so there's kind of a grammatical, like, wait, what?
A little bit of a dissonance.
A little bit for people who think like that. But we couldn't get around the fact that, like, you can't pursue God with the idea that you've arrived.
Yeah.
And so, we just felt like we had to recognize that pursuing God is a lifelong pursuit and you never really arrive. You never finish.
We're not just leveling up all the time kind of thing. Yeah.
But yeah, it's about the journey and about continually moving closer to Jesus and becoming more like him over time. So in that sense, that one is like eternally aspirational.
Yeah. I mean, it's sanctification living out in our lives for sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, our core values, you did read off the six before: truth, pursuing God, organic community, creativity, holistic mission, and intentional multiplication. And so today we really want to focus in on our core value of truth. So I'm just going to read it.
Yeah, awesome.
We believe Jesus Christ is the supreme embodiment of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. All things find their ultimate meaning and purpose in him. We also believe the Bible is God's written, authoritative, and completely true revelation to his creation. We are passionate about being transformed by God as we grow in love, zeal, knowledge, and obedience to the truth he has revealed. Wow, that's a lot.
Uh-huh.
I think it's great. So let's kind of dive into that. What is truth? And I think this is what people have been trying to figure out for millennia, right? But that first statement, we believe Jesus Christ is the supreme embodiment of truth. How can you speak to what truth is, Coley?
Yeah, just, you know, a quick light question. So at the bottom of each core value, we have some scripture references that we were inspired by or think are a good summary of each of these points. And so the first one under truth I want to read, I'm flipping into it here, is John 14:6. And I think this is such a good it's just a good summary. John 14:6. Well, I'll start in verse 5. Thomas, one of the disciples, also known as Doubting Thomas in some contexts, which isn't fair because he only doubted because he hadn't seen Jesus in person after the resurrection, which you and I haven't either, but he struggled until he saw him in person. But that's a digression. This is all before that. John 14:5. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's one of the places where Jesus is just so direct of saying, guys, it's not about this thing outside, like this other idea. It's about me. It's about Jesus. Unfortunately, in our culture, and even before modern Western culture, there's lots of ways to determine truth. And right now, it's very in vogue to say my truth.
Yeah.
That phrase.
You can believe your truth, I believe mine, and we can just sit in that together kind of
right.
thing. Yeah.
Which logically is self-defeating. You can't have two competing truths and both function. And I think we're actually starting to see that in our society, which is kind of interesting, that even in secular society, they're realizing, okay, yeah, no, this doesn't actually work. Because if you and I have two different definitions of truth that are contradictory, they can't both be true.
Yeah, and I think in like the worldview of secular humanism that is so prevalent in our society, there is no absolute truth. But that's one thing that the Bible actually contradicts.
Totally.
That there is absolute truth, and that's found in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. That's why we started this wording with, we believe Jesus Christ is the supreme embodiment of truth. Because it's not just a set of tenets that we affirm. It's not just a series of things we believe are true. It's in Jesus. Jesus is truth. And ultimately, he is where we find our meaning and purpose and salvation.
And we as a church, like, we're a part of a body, and Christ is the head of that body, right? And so he is a part of our church. And so if this is what we value, we're valuing what should be at the core and central part of who we are. And I think, you know, in John 17, when Jesus is in the garden the mm-hmm. night before he is to be crucified, and he's praying to the Father, and one of the things that he asks the Father is, please sanctify them. He's talking about his disciples, his church. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And we know Christ is the incarnated word, right? And so he's saying, this is how they're going to be unified together as a body, is by being sanctified in truth. And so I don't think it's, yeah, like you said, like this just like creed that we put down of like, yes, we believe in truth.
Totally.
I think it has to be a central part of who we are and what we value.
Yeah. And the reason we started with it is because even 15 years ago, or whatever it was, we knew that you cannot assume that this is assumed.
Yeah.
Even, unfortunately, even in groups of people that call themselves a church or a Christian church, you can't assume that we believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he was, or is who he says he is. We felt like we had to say it right off the top. Like, nope, this is where we stand. This is what we stand on. And then everything kind of comes from that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, throughout the millennia, there's been a lot of ink spilled about what truth is and how we seek it and why we seek it. So us, even living in this modern context in Minneapolis as a church, why is it important for us to seek truth, to seek to know who Jesus is?
Yeah. You know, similarly to what I said a second ago about it not being just a series of central tenets, you know, just
yeah.
items that are true, like 2 + 2 = 4 or something. But because truth is in the person of Jesus, we are being transformed by him, or we ought to be allowing him to transform us and to make us more like himself. And so as far as why, like in John chapter 8, Jesus says, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples, indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Mm.
He could have, in theory, he could have just said, "You will, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth." And won't that be great? You'll know the truth. but he continues on. It has an effective purpose that isn't just head knowledge. We can know the truth in Christ and be made free by it. So that's one of the big reasons why.
And that makes me think back to that original freedom in the garden, right? When Adam and Eve were created, they had this freedom to be in relationship and to know God. And they knew truth because they were walking daily in the garden with him. And that is so freeing. But because of sin, right, we're chained and shackled by that as well, by our sin nature. And so by knowing Christ, we're kind of brought back to that original relationship with God and knowing him and knowing truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, how do we seek truth, right? Because that's really easy to be like, yeah, we should know truth. We should know how it's embodied by the person of Jesus, how we can see ourselves and God in light of that truth. So how do we actually seek truth on a day-to-day, boots-in-the-ground way?
Yeah, there's a lot of ink has been spilled about who Jesus is. But ultimately, we have the Bible that we trust. And you know, if we were going through a statement of faith, we could talk about what the Bible is and how it came to be and all of that, but we're going to spare that for now. But ultimately, Jesus has revealed himself through the written word in Scripture. And if we want to know Jesus, we need to read his word. We need to know the word and to submit to it. We've also been designed to live in community. You know, it's very rare that throughout history that people would read the Bible just alone by themselves.
Yeah.
It's actually a more modern or just like a monastic practice. But after the Gutenberg press was invented, you know, the written copies of the Bible became much more available and that became more accessible, which praise God for that.
Yeah.
But there's something that I think it's easy to forget how important it is to do in community. And we talked about this last time when we talked about sermons, and listening to sermons together is very different than just listening to like a podcast or a live stream.
Yeah.
There's that accountability piece that when we are together, we can be representatives of the truth to one another.
And we do that through song in worship sometimes too. Yeah. We sing the truth about who God is and we remind each other of that as well.
Totally. And I mean, the beautiful thing about truth is that it's very logical.
Yeah.
In a sense. I mean, sometimes it doesn't feel all that logical if the Lord's asking you to do something and with great faith, you know. But our experiences, to an extent, can be trusted when they are submitted to the authority of God and evaluated through the lens of Christ.
Yeah, that's very different than saying, oh, that's your truth, that's my truth, or that's your experience, this is my experience. I do like that you said when it's submitted to the authority of God or the Bible or the body of Christ, because yeah, it's important. I mean, we experience the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? And that reveals more of who God is. And so I don't think we should negate experience. However, we need to put that experience in the perspective of who God says he is in the Bible through the person of Christ and within the body as well.
Yeah. So for example, like if all I had to tell you was, you know, if someone asked me, how do you know Jesus is who he says he is? And all I had was, well, I have experienced his work in my life. And I have examples for that. That might be of some value. But when, if I only have, well, this is what the Bible says, so believe it or don't. Well, that can be a little sterile too. But together, the Bible is God's inspired word, but I am also empowered by the Holy Spirit and Christ is living in me. And so through my life, ideally, I should be living out the truth and exemplifying the truth in my life that is first attested to in the word, but then also confirmed as I live my life. And so I can also share my own stories with skeptics or people that are asking. That it's not just, well, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me show you how he has been the way, the truth, and the life for me. And there's no other possible way that these things could have happened without him.
And I love that you mentioned living it out, because the identity of who we are, we're image bearers of Christ.
Right.
So we need to live out that image bearerness that we have. So if Christ is the truth, we should be representatives of that truth and how we live in the world as well.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Coley. I feel like this has been really helpful, especially you being like an Antioch, like core team member, giving us a little background and insight on how these core values came to be. And it's been really fun to dive into this first one with you.
Yeah, I had to pull some cobwebs out to remember what happened 15 years ago, but no, that's fun.
Yeah. So we hope to do more of these in the future. We've got 5 more to crush. But if you're listening and if you have any questions about our core values, any specifics about them, feel free to reach out to us. You can hit us up on Instagram through a direct message there or email us at podcast@antiochcommunity.org.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
This has been the Life in the City podcast brought to you by Antioch Community Church in Northeast Minneapolis. Join our worship service at 10 a.m. on Sundays in the Waterbury Building or contact us at podcast@antiochcommunity.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.